Open your Bibles this morning, if you would, please, to Romans, the first chapter, and verse 16. I'm picking up where we left off last week, basically. Started what I'm sure will be a series, because, again, I tried to write less, but I could have written much more. I know where we're going next week, all of that. But we are talking about the gospel. The gospel. Well, of course, the gospel. That's a common term in church. Everybody knows what the gospel is. No, everybody don't know what the gospel is. Again, I'll reinforce that word gospel. The original Greek word means simply good news. If something were to happen good in your life, you could tell somebody, hey, I got gospel for you. You know, if somebody were to bless you really well, you could call up a family member, oh, I can't wait to share gospel with you. It's that common and simple of a term. We have made it in the church world to mean a specific doctrine, and that is that Jesus, sinless Lamb of God, was beaten, tortured, crucified in our place. God placed our sin upon Him. Now, this part's controversial, but I think it's very clear in the Scriptures. Descended into hell and took our punishment. Rose then from the dead, not only physically, but more importantly, spiritually. Became alive again. And then as we understand that resurrection power, that new life offered to us, the Scripture says that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We call that being saved salvation, and we're referring to understanding if you believe that Jesus was crucified, resurrected, Son of God, you believe that, you'll be saved. And people talk about being made spiritually new, being born again. 1 Corinthians calls a new creature in Christ, you know, old things passed away, behold, all has become new. So a new creation, new creature. And we have, shall I say, slid into the default position that when somebody says gospel, for instance, yeah, I shared the gospel with a couple of people. When they say that, they are talking about Jesus saves from sin, and when one is receiving of that, they're born again, they'll live forever in the presence of the Lord. We have narrowed it down to just that. But the gospel, as Jesus understood it and preached it, is so much more. That doesn't take anything away from that one foundation stone that I just described. But it is so much more. And so when we are looking at the gospel, we should understand the gospel as Jesus taught it, as Jesus preached it. We should look at Paul. We should look at Peter. We should look at John. We should look at James. We should look all through the New Testament and see what did they preach when they preached the gospel. And then when we know what they preached, what should we be doing in our churches? We should be preaching the same gospel that Jesus preached, that Paul preached, that Peter preached, that James and John preached. Amen. The same gospel that Luke preached, that Mark preached, every one of them. If you find they preached something, we should be too. So here we have this verse. This is Paul writing the book of Romans. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We're not to be ashamed. We're not to be ashamed. We're not to be ashamed. Now, if the gospel is more than just Jesus saves from sin, and we leave out those other parts, either we don't know about them, or we're ashamed of them. Amen. You know, if you tell a story on yourself, yeah, I went to the store and I did this and I did this and I got some things. And you leave out the part where you picked up a dozen eggs and dropped them on the floor and broke them all over the place and somebody had to come and clean it up. You didn't tell that part because you're ashamed of that part. Right? So what? I went to the grocery store? I told you. I went to the grocery store, got this, 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 and this. Yeah, you left something out. Right? So are there parts, at least, of the gospel that get left out? So Paul here, Paul didn't leave anything out. We won't go to the scripture, but there's a place where he describes, I've withheld nothing that would be helpful to you from teaching in the scriptures. But he says he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. I'll stop there for a second as well. The power don't flow until the gospel is told. Something needs to change. Something needs some power applied. Some gospel needs to be told. Amen. It's a simple formula. You know, I don't know about you, but yesterday I was outside working a little bit. I've got some acreage. I've got a yard, so much so that I hire some help and all of that. You know, I had cut a bunch of pine boughs in my yard with a chainsaw, just dropped them down there. And help that I hired was going around picking them up, putting them in a wagon and pulling. No. I like power tools and machines. Yeah, especially since my yard help is female. So I went and got a tractor and a trailer and had just a week or so earlier taught her how to drive the tractor. Yeah, and so went from tree to tree picking up those branches for me as I had hired her to take care of things in my yard and used power to do it. Whenever there's a task that can be done by hand, I think, what machine does this job? You know, we've got some prairie area that Sandy planted wildflowers and wild grasses. Some of you have seen that, and it's not prime anymore. We need to reseed some things and all that, but trees are infringing and coming in, and got these little trees, and well, I've tried mowing them off, and then they just send multiple stems up instead of one, you know. We've tried burning, and then it doesn't get a fire hot enough to prevent the trees from growing. And so, you know, I did two years ago, went out with a shovel and started digging them and trying to cut the roots, and I quit because it's just so much work, exhausting work. I need power to do this. And I'm still scheming, what machine can I get to pull them little trees out? And so I'm thinking about a particular attachment for my skid loader or mini hoe, and I'm just going to pop them roots on all them, go all through those 2 acres and pop out all them stupid little trees, because power does the job better. Yeah. Yes, it does. Amen? So if I need something done and it takes some power, come on, preach me the gospel. Oh, I got a machine for that. I've got a tool for that. If you need the power of God to do something, you've got to hear the gospel. Now, maybe like machines, since I'm in that way of illustrating these things, there's the right machine for the job. If your body needs healing, you need the right power to do healing in your body. And to do the right power, you need the right gospel. If you don't hear the right gospel, you won't have the right power applied to the situation. Amen. I'll give you just a little jump ahead here. It'll spark your thinking, and you could stay on this. But anything that happened in the ministry of Jesus, was the power manifested. And that power to flow had to have gospel preached. It had to have the right gospel preached. Nobody would have been healed in the ministry of Jesus if they didn't hear the gospel concerning healing of the body. I really love this illustration that I heard a guy give, you know. As a matter of fact, I think it was Charlie Kirk, if any of you know who he is. I like his radio program a little bit. But he does this thing where he goes to college campuses and puts up a display and everything, and the meetings have grown to be thousands on these campuses. But it'll be, you know, debate me, challenge me, ask me anything kind of a thing. And people, one by one, students come up and challenge him, and he answers them. And so he, with no notes, will do 2-3 hours of that kind of thing. And this individual, Charlie Kirk's a Christian, strong Christian man, talks about it a lot on his secular radio program. He's a pretty big deal in that world. But anyway, said, I would believe in God, but there's no proof. He said, no proof? Well, yeah, can you prove to me that God exists? And so I don't know if I'm going to remember exactly the details, but he says, are you aware of any of the great architecture and buildings in ancient Greece? Well, yeah. Their building is proof of a builder. He said, how about artwork? Do you know any great works of art? The art is proof of the painter. He said, how about the stars, the planets, the earth, all the things that we see? Yeah? Proof of a creator. Amen. A healing, a miracle is proof of a power. A power is proof of a gospel. At some point in time, I'm sure we're going to get to Romans. How will they believe unless they hear the gospel? How will they hear the gospel unless it's preached? How will it be preached unless there's a preacher? How will there be a preacher unless he's sent? How beautiful are the feet of them who preach good news. Any good news out of the mouth of a preacher, gospel, carries in it the power to accomplish what it is. Amen. If we want healing miracles in this room, guess what has to happen? We need to preach the power of God to work healing miracles. Amen. Amen. So it's the power of God to salvation. Salvation, soteria in Greek, just simply means be delivered, to be brought out, to be saved. General purpose word. It could cover all the areas I've been referring to. Amen? So, it's the power of God. Let's go to Matthew 24 and verse 14. Matthew 24, 14. Jesus speaking says, and this gospel, now he's specific, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. Evidently, the gospel has not been preached in all the world, in all the nations, because the end has not come. Now, to say that, the gospel's been preached just about everywhere. And when I say the gospel, I'm referring back to Jesus saves from sin, not necessarily more than that. But if that is not the gospel he's referring to, that would mean that it's not yet preached everywhere. There's great amounts of evidence for the gospel pretty much reaching every people on the earth, with a few exceptions. For instance, history tells us that Thomas, doubting Thomas, you remember him, went to India. And India became, way back at that time, a Christian nation. To this day, there are parts of India that are Christian. Doctor that she used to have, he moved on to another location. But his name was Abraham Thomas. He carries a Christian, he is an Indian by descent. He carries a Christian, Abraham Thomas. This is 2,000 years later, and there's the evidence right in front of me that Thomas went to India and preached the gospel. Amen. So the gospel's been in limited form just about everywhere. But is it this gospel? Is it the full gospel, as some people take the name? And as I cautioned last week, I'm really hesitant to say I preach the whole counsel of God, the full gospel, because nobody knows it all. I'll preach everything that the Lord gives me, and I see, and I understand, and gain the revelation of it. And it may be something more than somebody else, but anyway, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. You study the Bible, you find out there will be one last great revival, and the Lord will come. You know what that revival is going to be? The whole gospel. The whole gospel. Amen. Amen. Almost every great revival going back to antiquity, it's not just people saved, but it is many more manifestations than that. And I mean healings. Just about all of them at some point were spirit-filled tongue talkers. You know, we have a college, local college here, the Nazarene College, right? Just go back in their history. They were holy rollers. Their reputation, roll on the floor, speaking in other tongues. And boy, they'd frown upon that now over in their churches. Real moves of God have many more things in them than what our present batch of, you know, I don't even know what term to use. People, they say it like this: we preach the gospel, none of this other stuff, just the gospel. Oh, is that right? As if, healing in somebody's body is not gospel, not good news. Amen. So anyway, evidently that gospel's not been preached all over just yet. What then is being preached? And I went over a list last week a little bit. In some places, things are being preached that are not at all gospel. Church I grew up in was very good at preaching Jesus will save from sin, you'll live eternally with Him. And that, you know, was about the extent of it. So, you know, when it came later in life, I discovered in the Word that God is healing today, the laying on of hands and such. I got quite a lot of opposition from certain people. No, we don't do any of that stuff, just the gospel. So there's a lot of churches in that category. But there's churches today that don't even cover the primary focus at all. So what is preached? Well, all kinds of things. Be a good person's preached, you know. Charity, take care of the poor is preached. Unfortunately, politics, race. There are places where race is preached. Gay, lesbian is preached. Migrants is preached. Now, not every one of those things, but some of these things are good. Taking care of the poor. That's good. But it's not the highest part of the gospel. Amen. And there was one individual who, when an expensive gift was lavished upon Jesus, made a fuss about it, said this should have been sold and given to the poor. You know who that individual was? It was Judas Iscariot. And the Bible says it wasn't that he cared about the poor. He was just stealing out of the treasury. And he saw, man, I could have got a lot of money out of that, you know. I don't want to be accompanied with him in my attitude toward these things. In another place, Jesus said, the poor you will always have. Why is that? It's because some won't hear and believe the gospel, which we'll get to it at some point in time. Luke chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. There is a gospel to the poor. And their answer is not a program or a giveaway. Sure, people need help sometimes, but their answer is the gospel to the poor. They need to hear some gospel. Amen. Amen. So all kinds of things are preached that are not the gospel. You know, even concerning, let's just say, when folk talk about race in church, different church that way. There was a time in the book of Acts where the widows of Greek descent were not receiving the same care that the widows of Jewish descent. So that's an ethnicity, if not a race, and it was addressed and taken care of. So discrimination that way is wrong. It needs to be watched, but it doesn't take center stage and become what's preached. Amen. Amen. When we get to heaven, I do not believe we're going to be separated. It's going to be all one big party together. Amen. And we should be truly colorblind. Color doesn't matter. Amen. Color doesn't matter. And there are a lot of people making a really big deal about those things and so on in a way that's not gospel. No one should be mistreated. We're not saying anybody should be mistreated, but it shouldn't be what we notice, and it shouldn't affect how we conduct ourselves, and it shouldn't affect what we preach. Let's preach the gospel. You know, I mean, maybe I just should move on, but people talk about white Jesus, black Jesus, and artwork and all of that. Jesus weren't neither. I know that's not good English, but I'm making a point. What was Jesus? Jewish. What would he look like? Like the Jews looked. What color was his skin? People tend to say olive, you know. I'm not sure that I'd call that olive. I don't know what it is, but did he have a big nose? Maybe. Jesus is beautiful. I don't care about the body he walked in. Amen. The older I'm getting here, the more I'm going through, the more I'm thinking about, whew, Lord, I'm looking forward to meeting you face to face. Amen. Amen. So, there's a long list of things that is preached in churches that Jesus didn't preach. And so, for me, I'm going to restrict myself to preaching what Jesus preached. Now, he was asked about politics, and he gave some very insightful answers on those things. He did comment on politics. He called certain religious leaders broods of vipers, snakes, graves. He called one particular political figure a fox. Go tell that fox. You know, so he made comment in these things as it related to what his mission was. And the gospel and what we know from the scriptures should guide our politics and guide how we vote. The question is, this individual that's running for office, which one's going to come closest to fulfilling the scriptures and following God? That's all I want to know. Amen? Party don't matter. But you tend to see things kind of go this way and that way, and one bunch may have individuals that are a little more aligned. But anyway, let's go to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23, please. I want you to notice while we're here, the last verse where we were, it said gospel of the kingdom. Gospel of the kingdom. Now, my instructions for the Lord was to dwell on that, the kingdom, the kingdom. The kingdom, or that word kingdom, just in the gospels, is there 121 times. And very few, like three of them, are referenced when the word kingdom is used to something other than the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. That's a lot of mentions. In other words, Jesus talked about the kingdom a lot. And I realized I have not talked about the kingdom a lot. In fact, maybe not even much. And as I said last week, and I'm thinking about it again this week, we as Americans don't have a whole lot of understanding of a kingdom. You know, our forefathers in this nation threw off a kingdom and became an independent nation, formed where supposedly the highest authority in the land is the people. It functionally is questionable how well that's operating at this point in time. There's a struggle right now between executive and judicial in our country, but supposedly it's the people are the highest authority, right? So Americans carry that right into church. And it ends up being in church, well, what all the people say, that's what goes. You don't find an idea like that in a kingdom. Amen. Well, Pastor Dan, are you saying the preacher's a king? The preacher's a shepherd under the shepherd. And there's plenty in the scriptures to instruct the preacher, the pastor, about how he shepherds. Amen. But we are, shall we say, citizens of the kingdom of God. Things are going to work like a kingdom works. You know, a kingdom is also called a dominion. And there will be places where there's structure, authority, dominion. We should understand those things. And I promise you, if Jesus is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, being under His authority, under His dominion, and under dominion as He may set in responsibility officers at various levels, it'll be a joy and a delight to be part of His kingdom. Do people abuse authority? Yes, they do. Yes, they do. You can even think about in the New Testament, you know, where it talks about powers and principalities, thrones and dominions. What are those? Those are ranks in a kingdom. There's a kingdom of God. There's a kingdom of darkness. And we're to operate by kingdom ways. We're not a democracy. Actually, our nation is not a democracy either. It's a representative republic, but anyway. And so many times you'll get individuals inside churches that form a little group and they want to begin imposing their will upon some of the others and see if they can't collect enough that it becomes a majority. And most churches, most denominations, the pastor is hired by a committee, a group of people, even if it's a congregationalist church where everybody has a vote and so on, as soon as they don't like something, he's gone. church where I grew up in, that denomination, you know, it might be every 2 or 3 or 4 years. Some denominations, it's a specified numbers of years and they rotate them. And why do they do that? My personal opinion is for denominational control. But if God calls a man, to man or woman, man and a woman is ideal, to start a work, if God places them in a place and they build a church, God put them there. Amen. Not a committee, not a board of elders, and so on. And so we don't tend to, in America, think kingdom-wise. We need to start thinking that way. I'm not saying our nation needs to change at all. I think it was founded properly. But in the church, it's a different story. Can that be abused? Yes, absolutely, that can be abused. If God can place a pastor, he can sure enough remove him too. Amen. Amen. Don't you ever be the one that's involved in an action like that. Church I grew up in, I got spirit-filled, got full of the Word, started sharing and teaching some things, and it stirred up some stuff in the church, and at some point, I never was on the outs with the pastor. It was some of the elders that wanted to shut it all down. But I finally told the pastor after 2-3 years of teaching healing inside the church. I took a Sunday school class nobody else wanted, right? and then had elders sit in on it. But finally, I decided I'm going to be in rebellion, or I got to move, or I got to shut up. Both of them were unacceptable, so the third option was move on. And we did. And God progressively enlightened me, called to ministry, Bible school, serve as associate pastor, and then come here. And here we are, 28 years later. But kingdom, it's kingdom order. Kingdom order. So from time to time, you know, I have been as brash as to say, God put me here. If somebody wants to try to get rid of me out of this church, let them try. Go ahead. Give it your best shot. And if it's come down to one of us has got to go, you know, the old West thing, this town ain't big enough for both of us, right? Lord, did you hear that? Yeah. And those of you who have been with us for years, what has happened? Well, it's obvious what's happened. I'm still here. And we're still prospering. We're still moving forward. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You want to be careful about speaking out, getting in rebellion. Who you are brother to at that point in time, you know, getting like that. Now, if somebody feels like they've got something to say, I got 2 ears. I can listen. I can hear. You can tell me, and we'll work it out if we can, or we won't. Amen. Where am I? Did I have you go to Matthew 4:23? I did. There it is. So again, think kingdom. And Jesus talked about the kingdom almost 120 times in those four Gospels. That's a lot. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of disease among the people. Why do you think Jesus was healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease? Because he was preaching the gospel. Now again, another time we'll get to it. But Luke chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, which is quoting Isaiah. preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted. And I know brokenhearted might not be specifically the body, but Jesus got results according to what he preached. When the gospel of the kingdom is preached, look what happens. If the gospel of the kingdom is preached the way Jesus preached it, containing what Jesus preached, there will be healing, all kinds of sicknesses, and all kinds of disease. Therefore, I must preach the gospel of the kingdom. I declare to you today that Jesus heals today. Amen. The power of God flows to heal today. Amen. He does that in a variety of ways, just like in gospel times. One reached and touched the hem of his garment. Some had mud in their eyes and were sent. Others he laid hands on. Some he commanded, rise and walk. All kinds of ways. All of them. Faith comes by hearing. There's 19, 20 miracles, healing miracles in the Gospels. Depends on how you count them, what you think qualifies or not. 12 of those, he mentions their faith directly. Another 5, making it up to 17, there's an inference to the faith of the individual. How does faith come? By hearing. And hearing by? We're going to get to it another time, but when you look at that, when it says Word of God, 2, 3 verses before, it's talking about the gospel. We could say it this way. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the gospel. It wouldn't change the meaning at all. Amen. I'm giving away all the secrets up front here today. Anyway, when the gospel of the kingdom is preached, look what happens. Go to Matthew 9:35. There's so many references here that we're barely going to leave the book of Matthew. I realize I could preach this same message from Luke. I could preach the same message from Mark or John. There's just so much reference to it. Matthew 9:35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues. Now you might say, do we just read that? No, this is another occasion. The last one was in Mark 4. This is in Mark 9. This is later, another time. So I meant Matthew. Matthew 9:35, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every. Now that flies in the face of some of the things that were said to me when I was growing up in church. Every? No, not every, just the ones that he willed to heal. Doesn't say that. I'm not sure this is good, but I was teaching along in my high school Sunday school class that I had in that church I grew up in, and the elder was sitting in because I've been saying strange things and all that. And he comes to check it out, and I'm teaching my way through the book of Acts, and I got to where I was talking about Jesus at his own hometown, and it says, and I think we're going to look at that scripture here today, but if we don't, it says, and there he could do no mighty works. It says, because of unbelief, right? And I read it and start saying, Jesus couldn't, and the elder stopped me. That's incorrect. Jesus chose not to, wouldn't. Had my Bible open. I'm sorry, sir, it says could not. It doesn't say chose not. It says couldn't. He didn't answer. He sat quiet for the rest of my class. By the way, that felt like a lot of pressure. because I was 22 years old or something like that, you know, and here's elder of the church. Anyway. So it says, healing every sickness. We don't get to change the words in the Bible. We don't have the authority to do that. In fact, Revelation makes strong cautions against adding or deleting from the Scriptures. And when it says healing every sickness and every disease among the people, what does it mean?
Every.
It means every. That means with the gospel preached here today in this room, wherever faith comes to an individual, every sickness, every disease, every injury, every hurt, every little boo-boo on your pinky finger. If the gospel says every, does the gospel mean every? I mean, you got to get right down in it like that. Can't play around with it. Can't change it. Can't fidget around the corners and the edges and everything. Does it say every or not? Reminds me when Sandy went down and she was dead or dying or whatever at that moment, I realized in my heart, man, this is real right now. And I said in my own heart, I said, either I believe it or I don't. There's no middle ground to play around with. I believe that Jesus heals and saves and does miracles and raises the dead, or I don't. And I had been trained and taught and read and went to Bible school. Not that Bible school is everything, but I had taught myself concerning healing by the stripes of Jesus. And the rubber was meeting the road, and I believe it or I don't. Will I believe it? And the rubber met that road. And here she is. Amen. I don't get to change the words. I don't get to modify it. I don't get to water it down. I don't get to say, well, it's there. And it says it or it don't. Mark chapter 1, verse 14, please. Mark 1:14. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. I toss this in here just to give you a flavor. It says this over and over, preaching the kingdom, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. There are other ways it is said also. But again, 120 references to the kingdom. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. What's he saying? Saying the kingdom's here, right now. It's effective and working. The kingdom is open for business right now. Let me ask a question. If Jesus brought the kingdom into business in his day, now 2,000 years later, is the kingdom closed? Move away to a better city? Is the kingdom at hand? Present with us? Here? Yes. Then Jesus says, repent and believe in the gospel. You know, you may think, well, he's talking to sinners there. Some of us maybe need to, repent means turn around and ask ourselves a question. Let's just say healing in the body again. Do you believe it or not? And if you're not sure, turn that ship around. Repent. I mean, there were some guys that said, you know, well, the one... Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. That's getting the ship turned around, at least. Amen. The call goes out to you and me today. Repent and believe the gospel of the kingdom. Amen. Well, what do we know about the kingdom of God? Not enough, right? I mean, I'll say for myself, not enough. If I heard that Brother so-and-so, whoever it might be, wrote the great book on the kingdom of God, I would find that book and read that book and study that book. I want to know more. I don't know everything there is to know. How can we believe in the gospel of the kingdom we don't know enough about? Amen. If there's any void in our knowledge, there's an area that we haven't heard, and there's an area we can't have faith for, and we can't receive. Yikes. Matthew 6:33, please. Matthew 6:33. Boy, this is a favorite verse of mine. I won't tell my testimony on it again, but it says here, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Yes, it was food, shelter, clothing. Jesus was talking about worry, talking about God providing for you everything you need. But notice here, He says, seek first the kingdom of God. And I will admit, I'm not sure I know enough about the kingdom. And when I read that and put that into practice in my life, Sandy and I, about 1982, 83, is when we really made a turn based on this verse. I would say that because of not near enough knowledge on kingdom, which maybe to this day, to me it said, seek first God. And I'm leaving off kingdom. Which word is to be emphasized? Maybe they're equal that way, but it's not just seek God and don't worry about kingdom. That's not what it says. That's changing this scripture. Seek first the kingdom of God. We could maybe make a case for if one of these two words could be dropped, it wouldn't be kingdom. The word of God identifies which kingdom you're talking about, but the target here is seek the kingdom. That makes it a little bit different. Seek the kingdom. As I mentioned, if there's a kingdom order, I need to find my place in kingdom order and properly fill my role and know, for instance, there's a man that I call my pastor and know that he's given a position of responsibility. I talked to him Friday morning while I was watching Pastor Sandy, caught up on his trip to Italy and Africa. Oh, man, great stuff, great stuff. Sent me all the pictures of the elephants and the zebras and the lion. Lion, male lion so close he could have reached out from the Jeep and touched it. But anyway, I arrange myself in my spot in submission. There's an ugly word, and word an American doesn't like. In submission under my pastor. Kingdom order. I know who my spiritual father is. The one who, what's a spiritual father? The one who kind of birthed you in. Now, the individual did not lead me to the Lord. I was already following God, but the one who I understood God. You know, Paul wrote, you have many teachers, but not many fathers. Amen. I know who that is. And whenever I'm around different individuals, you can figure out, where are they in kingdom order? Now, the Bible does say, submit yourselves to one another. There's a certain amount of submission that we owe to one another, regardless of some of these ranking things. In the kingdom, there's rank, okay? People don't like talk like that, but in the kingdom, there is rank. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So what comes first? The kingdom. The kingdom of God. Amen. If that comes first, I have to know about the kingdom to make it first. Is that not true? This is not a side issue. This is not a small thing. We need to understand we are part of a kingdom. Amen. Let's go to Matthew 7 and verse 21, please. Matthew 7, 21. You know, if we take at face value some of the things Jesus said, it may cause us a bit of reevaluation of some of the things we've thought. Look at this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Next verse. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name? And done many wonders in your name? Signs and wonders, miracles, right? Verse 23, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Or I think it says iniquity in the King James Bible. Wow. You mean to say that there are going to be people who will prophesy in the name of the Lord. There's going to be people who cast out demons in the name of the Lord. And there's going to be people that perform signs and wonders in the name of the Lord. And yet the Lord doesn't know them and they are not citizens or members of the kingdom. In fact, they're lawless, practicing iniquity, and Jesus cast them from His presence. They do not come into heaven. Wow. There are many people who make claims, even produce, what do you want to call it? Signs, wonders, demons. There are people who prophesy. There are people who cast out demons. There are people who work wonders, and they are not in the kingdom. They will not be in heaven. They are not saved. The Lord doesn't know them. That's a scary thing. Just because somebody can participate in the supernatural realm and things happen around them supernaturally doesn't mean it's God supernatural. Now one he does know, if you'll go back to verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. How do you know where somebody's at? Not by their claims, not by their prophesying, not by manifestations, not by signs and wonders, but are they following the kingdom of God in good kingdom order? Are they submitted in heart to the Lord and to the Lord's, meaning those that are the Lord's, dare I say, to a pastor. Amen. There are false signs. There are false wonders. There are people making claims. To paraphrase, in the scriptures it says, is it any wonder the devil himself, Lucifer himself, appears as an angel of light? People can be fooled. Or even think back to Moses confronting Pharaoh, cast down his rod and it becomes a snake. Well, Pharaoh goes like this to his magicians and they do the same thing. Of those 10 miracles and plagues, up to a point, they could do them too. Same thing. So Moses makes a snake, they make snakes. But Moses' snake swallowed their snakes. Amen. So the enemy cannot equal God, but he can do things. There are false and lying signs. There are people prophesying, and it sounds so great, but it's lies. Amen. We better know something about the kingdom. Yeah. And boy, oh boy, if nothing else today, here's a clue how to spot the real and the false. The real are submitted to the will of God. The false are not. And that will manifest in how they interact with other people. One lady that was off and wrong in our church years ago, finally an occasion came, she starts off in her prophesying, I stop her as pastor of the church, confront her, and boy, then loud voice, I will fear no man, I will fear no man. Yeah, that's exactly what's wrong with you. You have no respect for anything other than what you think. She's not with us anymore. I mean, not in church. I don't mean. Although, some people go so far, that's what happens. The Lord will silence them. The protection of the Lord departs. Amen. Now, the Lord is patient. Very patient. Gives a lot of space for repent. But if they won't, their lives could be shortened. That's kingdom too. And we can show that. Oh, really? Where? You ever heard of Ananias and Sapphira? Yeah. Well, we want to get back to that New Testament church, just like the book of Acts. Do we? Matthew 13:10, please. Matthew 13:10. Y'all with me? You see what I'm talking about? You feel a little bit of weight and gravity to this? Good, good, good. Matthew 10:13. And the disciples came to him and said, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. While we're here, notice there are mysteries to the kingdom of heaven. But the Lord is in the revealing business. But that revealing does not go to people, so far what we're reading, to whom it's not been given. And if I remember correctly, this is just after Jesus' teaching parable of the sower, four kinds of soil. Is that right there? I know that's in Mark. Yeah. So he had taught the parable of the sower, right? And you got clues right in there. Jesus said four kinds of soil is four kinds of heart. That then, if you put in context together, who has it not been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom? Those who don't have the right kind of heart. Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Boy, I want to be one that is given understanding of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Verse 12. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Now that sounds to a lot of folks backwards and wrong. Remember, we're talking about kingdom ways. In the kingdom, the one who has and respects and cherishes what they have, stewards it well, honors God with it, more will be given. When Jesus told the parable of the talents, he tells how two stewarded well and they got more. And one hid it in the earth, right? And it was what he had was taken from him and given to the ones who had an abundance. In a lot of people's minds, this is backwards. You should tax the rich and give to the poor. Not in the kingdom. Not in the kingdom. What do the poor need? The poor need the gospel to the poor preached to them. Amen. Amen. One who follows God will gain an abundance and more and more and more. Amen. Praise God. So after saying this, then Jesus says in verse 13, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. In other words, all the crowd heard exactly the same thing. Some perceived what he was talking about, and others went, what's he talking about? This is strange. This is weird. And he gets all the way to the point, I think we mentioned this last week, but he says something like, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And they just choke. What is he saying? And it talks about they left him in droves at that saying. In other words, they couldn't see it. Same parables being preached. Same stories being preached. Jesus preached in parables so some would get it and some would not. Who decides who gets it and who don't? Each individual decides for themselves. Now, when Jesus says, seeing they do not see and hearing they do not hear, he's quoting from Isaiah. Because he next moves to we'll go to verse 15, skip one. He quotes Isaiah. He says, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. The word heal is a general purpose word for save. But it's not mistranslated when it says heal. Who understands when Jesus teaches? Who doesn't? Maybe I'll phrase it that way. Who doesn't understand? Who doesn't get it? Who are the mysteries not revealed to? Those whose hearts have grown dull. Those whose ears are hard of hearing and their eyes they have closed. In other words, these are people that are shutting down on the inside, closing down concerning believing the gospel. You know, if we are to preach today, we lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And somebody says, yeah, I've heard that a lot, but I don't know that I've really seen that working. Dull heart. Ears hard of hearing. They don't understand. And while I'm here, let me just say this. Their hearts have grown dull, not their heads. When the brain and one's thinking becomes the standard of judging things, one submitting themselves to their thoughts creates a dull heart. I promise you, there are things in the gospel that don't make sense and are not logical to the thinking, but the heart can grab hold of it and understand it and believe it. Amen. When Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh, drink my blood, they're going, What? That just doesn't make any sense. We don't balk at that because we know Jesus was talking about his blood, about his body, and we can look back in the scriptures, and every time we receive communion, we go, yeah, this is his body broken for me. Literally his body? No. This symbol of his body, but I take Jesus in. This cup, blood, we drink that. Amen. Makes perfect sense to us, right? But not up here. You make sure, let the head go dull. Don't let the heart go dull. And all of us, well, I can't really explain it all, but I believe whatever it is, you know. The virgin birth. Well, how in the world does that happen? Well, it only happened once. How did that happen? Oh, that's easy. The Spirit of the Lord overshadowed Mary, and she was with child. Yeah, but what does that mean? I don't get it. It's simple. The Spirit of the Lord overshadowed Mary, and she was with child. But that don't make no sense. It's God, the giver of life, the creator of the universe. And the Spirit of God overshadowed Mary, and she was with child. That's how. The heart can understand it and grab it when the head goes, no, that ain't how babies are made. I know it. I even heard tell of one individual that trying to think this through said, well, apparently the Holy Spirit had sex with Mary. Oh, God. No, it doesn't say that. Well, how else would you have a baby? This is God we're talking about. If he can create Adam from dirt, right? So if you're looking for an explanation, too much thinking and not enough heart. That's a person dull of heart, closing their eyes, closing their ears. Boy, I don't want that to be me. Verse 19. Matthew 13, 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, can I say with their head? Hears the word of the kingdom. There it is, kingdom again. Doesn't not just hears the word. Here's the word of the kingdom. Does not understand it. Then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. That's what happens. Words preached to someone, I don't get it. Then the enemy can just pick that up because that has not been hidden in the heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. So Jesus is explaining the parable of the sowers to the disciples, but I want you to see the gospel of the kingdom is not always received, not always understood, and the reason is a dull heart. Amen. Don't let your heart get dull. Don't let your head take over thinking things through and saying, I don't know about that. Mark chapter 6, please. Mark 6, 5. Mark 6, 5. Now he could do, this is Jesus in his hometown, he could do no mighty work there. This is what I was talking about earlier when I was a young man teaching in a high school Sunday school class. He could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And where it says a few sick people, it means minor things. And verse 6, and he marveled because of their unbelief. So we hear have exactly why we only got a few minor healings? Unbelief. People who heard the same gospel that Jesus was preaching everywhere. And some could receive great miracles and some couldn't. Why? Because of unbelief. It says next, then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. Teaching is the remedy for unbelief. Not just preaching. Preaching stirs everybody up. There has to be some teaching. It sort of blessed me. A couple of the ladies from our church had a family event that they were invited to and went to at another church. So they went to another church instead of being here on Sunday. And they were telling me how disappointed they were with the ministering of the word. And I shouldn't be excited about that, but they were going on and on. You know, he just barely mentioned something, and we were like, okay, here we go. And he'd back away from it. And said, and in the end, you know, it was 25 minutes of nothing. And tell me how thankful they were that they come here, and I teach, sometimes go long, but preaching will stir you up, and we need some of that. But teaching will give you tools to live by. Amen. So Jesus went about it in a circuit, teaching. So this is how it goes when people are dull of heart and hard of hearing and not open to the gospel of the kingdom. Now I realize here I missed a statement that I thought was going to be so fun to tell you all. Where did I put that? Did I just think it and not write it down? Well, I think I can remember what it was. When you see Jesus ministering and he's healing all disease, every sickness, and so on, when that's happening, it tells you what they believed. That tells you what they heard preached. You see that? And maybe that's not as big to you as it was to me, but when you look around and see what's happening, go to a particular church, what's happening, it filters down from what's being preached. And if there's healings and miracles in a church and so on, it's because the people believe. Why do they believe? Because it's been preached. Why has it been preached? Because the preacher believes. Well, if the preacher don't believe, then you can see the what's going to happen here, right? Anyway, where were we at? You can tell what's been preached. You can tell what Jesus preached by the results, is what I'm getting at. Last scripture, Matthew 16:19. Matthew 16:19. I thought this was going to be a shorter message today, but y'all been pulling on me real good, so more comes. Matthew 16:19. Jesus says this, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. That's what we've been talking about, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, kingdom, kingdom, kingdom. Oh boy, there's keys. Keys unlock. Keys open. Jesus says, I will give you keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Have a question for you. Did he give us the keys? Anybody? Did he? Now the keys would be, sometimes we say it this way, the key to understanding is, right? If you have the keys, when you desire, you open something. It's not hidden from you. It's accessible to you. You can go in and out. Is that right? Did Jesus give us the keys? Y'all said yes. Okay? Do you have them? If you had them, wouldn't you be unlocking all the understanding and doors you need to? Do you have them and not know that you have them? Do you have them, but like a big key ring, you don't know which key goes to which door? In other words, if you have them, if Jesus gave them, and you have them, and I have them, do I know how to use them? Well, it would start with knowing what the keys are, wouldn't it? Next week, I'm going to tell you what the keys are. Is that a dirty trick? I don't know. But it took this long to get you to say, ah, the keys. Jesus gave them. Have I got them already? Are they hanging on my hip and I haven't been using them? I don't know what opens what door. The keys to the kingdom, they're mine. You got to know you have them. Then you got to know what they are. And the Lord told me early in the week, He told me what the keys are. And I thought, I knew that. Oh, I'm excited. But we only have so much time, so. And we've used our time. We are going to look at the keys. In fact, when I give you the key to the keys, you'll spot them yourself. Isn't that even better? If somebody tells you, well, you can find what you're looking for right over here, and you go there and go, there's the whole thing, and it unlocks to you everything you need. Whoo! That sounds pretty awesome to me. Amen. But you see, Jesus is not withholding. He's not deciding, ah, maybe I'll heal you, maybe I won't, and so on. Amen? So we're going to do the keys to the kingdom next week. Amen. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit, the revealer of truth, the teacher, the guide, the counselor. Father, we thank you inasmuch as we've been faithful to His words, ministered them today. And we have folk here who have hungry hearts, who are not dull of heart, who have ears to hear, who have eyes to see. And we thank you, and may by your Spirit you go with each of us, reinforcing these words, keeping the flame flickering and going and stirring up, even building. And we'll come back next week. And we'll build upon this, and we'll be even more enlightened and see even more. Father, we thank you for